Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I'm seeing? The same exact... Actually, I think it's worse than what it was with Tom Thibodeau. A slow start for the Knicks, at least on the road here, BC.
Yeah, it's been a slow start. Listen, I think it's nuts to go nuts after four games here. And I'll grant you this. Obviously, a lot of discussions you and I had when they decided to move on from Tom Thibodeau for Mike Brown, I do think if Tom Thibodeau's coaching this team this year, they're probably 3-1, maybe even 4-0. I'll grant you that. I'm not even looking to push back there because I just think that there's more of an urgency during the regular season with Tom, and that results in some more wins. That's not my concern. My concern is the guy who is supposed to be running shotgun with Jalen Brunson to win a championship. He's just not it, man. And I promise you, I have thought about this for a long time. This is not a hot take. This is not firing open the mic and just trying to harpoon a guy. But Karl Anthony Towns, he's a problem. He's never going to be that guy. He never was that guy. He didn't do a damn thing to change his body. He is soft. He is slow. He is sloppy. And I also know, Sal, there's going to be nights where he puts in 40 and, you know, 13 rebounds. And I also know that he's not fully healthy right now. The quad is not quite good. And I do believe that he's a little bit compromised with that. But the ceiling for the Knicks is not a championship with Karl Anthony Towns running shotgun next to Brunson.
Okay, so my question to you, though, would be, did you think what made you think that was going to be any different from what we saw a year ago?
Well, it wasn't, because when we talked about this going into the season, right, I didn't think they'd win the championship. Right. I told you that. We agreed on that. I remember I said...
No, but forget about the championship. Yeah. I'm talking about Towns.
Well, I guess it was my hope that he would take this offseason,
right,
and change his body and understand, hey, I was in the Eastern Conference Finals. I've got a team that can win a championship. I'm getting floated out there with rumors for, you know, be traded for Giannis. And maybe take it personally and take it seriously and just take that next step physically and emotionally. He's just not that guy.
All right, but what was the other big thing that they did?
I mean, obviously you change coaches here. It's not a finished product, though. I know you're gonna have an early laugh.
It's not even an early laugh. The big knock on Tibbs was that, and even I said this as a Tibbs supporter, was that he didn't maximize Karl Anthony Towns' offensive game. If you watch the Knicks play under Mike Clown so far, Mike Clown.
No, we're going with Mike Clown four games in.
He's a clown, dude.
Mike Clown.
He's a clown. He's got no control of the team whatsoever.
All right, go ahead. Mike Clown.
You want, like, that's what he is. He's a guy that wants to be loved by the players and the media and joke around with the fans. He's not a real head coach. He's a clown. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but like his name rhymes with clown, and I think he coaches like a clown. Therefore, to me, he's my clown. Does the offense look any different to you? Because but at times, maybe there's ball movement.
It looks worse, actually.
Okay.
I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
And then at other times, the majority of times, like in the second half last night,
yep.
It's ISO ball, it's Brunson being the hero, it's Karl-Anthony Towns again out of control, trying to get to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the Knicks can't shoot, like they're not good enough shooters. They are a mess. So I'm not disagreeing with Karl-Anthony Towns being the, like, they're just not, we talked about this before the season.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope, like, they're not going to win with him being their second best guy. The hope was that at least Mike Clown could maximize what Towns can do offensively in a way that Tibbs couldn't. And it's way early, sure, but BT, this is what happens. Like, it's year one. So when's it going to be too late? Like, we're learning as we go. Well, it's four games into the season. Okay, well, you could kiss the idea of 60 wins goodbye. To me, that was never realistic. Are they going to be the best team in the East? I don't see that. And I wasn't sure that was going to be the case before. So I know it's very early. I'm not looking to overreact here. But they've got a long way to
they
go
do. They
before
do.
We look at them as a forget championship.
Yeah, they do.
Stamp them as the beast
they do.
Of the East.
There's a lot of things with this team that I don't like here. Now, I think Mike Brown's a whole hell of a lot better than you do, but eventually we'll find out. There was a sequence last night, and this is why it's just never going to change for for Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, he can lock himself at a gym. Mike Brown can funnel the offense through him basically every possession. You can do whatever you want to do, but there's certain things you're either wired to compete hard or you're not. And again, I'm reluctant to get in the weeds on one play against the Bucks in game four, but I have to because I think this is the problem with him. There's a sequence last night. They throw it down to the post, single coverage, right? He starts to make his move. They drop from the top of the key. Here comes the double. I forget who doubled. It was Kuzma one-on-one. Then the Bucks send the second defender. Cat's got the ball. He reads it properly. Soon as the second defender comes, he pumps it out to the perimeter. I think it may have been Brunson. Either way, he gets it out. Now the second defender who came to double goes back to where he was. Then they properly dump it back down to Karl-Anthony Towns, who was one-on-one against Kyle Kuzma, who is not one, not two, not three, not four, 5 inches shorter than Karl-Anthony Towns, right? And this is why points per game and even all-star berths and even to an extent sometimes like first or second or third team All-NBA, why I really don't get wrapped up in that. You have a guy who was 5 inches smaller and 50 pounds lighter pinned in the post. You got you should stick your ass in his chest and drop step and dunk in his face. What does he do? He flails, he fumbles, he falls away, he chucks it up, back rim, not even close. So, again, I just had to get, if you watch it, I actually shot like, that's why I took some ridiculous shot there, because that's what it was. And that's him. Like the, I got to say it. He's not a dog. He's not a rot. He's not a pit bull. He's a little puppy. He's a little puppy who was 7-1, 260 with game, but at the end of the day, he's a puppy.
He's an offensive foul machine. His best asset is his shot, and he doesn't do that nearly enough, well enough. I mean, all we keep hearing about is he's the best shooting big man ever. Now, there are going to be nights where it falls, and that's great, but I want some consistency. Like, how could you justify a team scoring 45 points in the second quarter and then not beating the 20-point mark in the third and fourth
quarter? They're inconsistent
like,
right now.
They're not. The only thing that I trusted their effort with Tibbs. With Tibbs, there was a floor. You knew you were going to get max effort, and you knew the consistency was going to be there. Now, were they going to shoot the lights out every time? No, I don't think they're a great shooting team. You know Jalen Brunson's coming to play every single night. I think Brunson's got issues with Towns, too. Now, I'm not trying to make beef up, but like you could see him trying to coach Towns up.
Yeah, they're tired of it. He's just like yeah, he
doesn't get it.
He doesn't get after it, man.
Dude, he's for a big that plays that out of control. But this is nothing new. So people blame Tibbs for being the one that held the Knicks back. So Mike Clown comes in and is supposed to elevate this team to an offensive level. Now, I'm not going to make any decisions based off of just four games. However, they are a win-now team. This is not, well, it's year one. Let's see what he could do. It's they've got to win now. They've got to win now. And all we're hearing is, well, we're learning a new system. And then we're watching it, and it looks the same to me. Hero ball, one-on-one stuff the majority of the time. Karl-Anthony Towns looks the same, if not worse, than he was before. And you're right, there are going to be some great games, sure. I'm not going to be fooled by that. I don't believe that this team is good enough. I don't believe that the power tandem the superstar tandem is good enough, and I think they regressed as far as the head coach goes.
They're not going to win a championship with this group. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, that's they're just not. They will not. You can take what's said on this show, at least from my microphone. You can seal it. You can ship it and send it wherever you want, and you can bust it out in May or June whenever they get bumped if they don't make a trade, because they're just simply not going to win. Now, again, the Mike Brown, I remember saying to Sal early, maybe a week or two before the season started. Now, I didn't love this part. And I do like Mike Brown, again, a lot better than Mike. You think he's a clown. I think he's good.
I got you.
I definitely don't think that. We'll see what his upside is here. Point being, Mike Brown said during the preseason, we're not even running plays yet. We're going to free flow. We're going to read, react. Now, I don't like that. That's too schoolyard for me. I need a little more structure.
Correct.
I'm with you there. I do. But I do think as the season unfolds that they will eventually get there. So I'm not concerned about an early loss here or early loss there. And I will grant you, and I think that you say that well, the Tom Thibodeau floor was very reassuring.
Yeah.
Very reassuring. I don't know what Mike Brown's floor is, and that's a little worrisome. I believe that in totality, from an offensive point of view, and then you mix it all together with a better bench, whatever, and a weak East, I think that the ceiling could be higher than Tom Thibodeau, but I grant you the floor could drop a level or two lower. Bottom line is this, you know, we very rarely do this with the NBA, might do it with the Yanks and Mets a little bit, certainly do it in football. It's four games in. I don't like what I see. It's less about the coach. It's much more, actually, really, it's all about the guy who some of you still think is a superstar and going to lead the Knicks along with Brunson to a championship. Newsflash, there's no shot it's going to happen. Towns is not that guy. I don't even know if the Bucks want him anymore, but if they do, and I know that's a separate topic, but they're going to eventually have to seriously re-engage Milwaukee because they're not winning with this crew.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Adam is calling from South Jersey, starting us off. What's up, Adam?
Oh, what's up? First call of the day, boys.
Let's
How we doing today?
Yeah, those Knicks, hey, Brenda. You get up on the line first more than anybody else when we start talking Knicks, Adam. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. I didn't like this hire from Jump Street. Towns is going to regress because Mike Brown's not a taskmaster. He's not Tom Thibodeau. And the only way they could have moved on from Tom Thibodeau is if they were going to upgrade. They did not upgrade. They lateral move to a coach who does not push his players, who wants to be everyone's friend. And you got a couple of dogs on his team who are going to work on their own and don't need the motivation. But then you got guys like Towns that need to be pushed. And he's not going to be pushed by this guy. And I agree, BT. This team ain't going to win nothing. And it's not just Towns, though. You need to pull your head out of sand, brother. It's Towns and now Clown. Clown's not going to push him. He's
Clown.
Not going to push him. He's just... He's not going to push him. That's what it comes down to.
But Adam, even with, and thanks for the call, even with Tibbs last year, BT, and this is why we came to the conclusion a year ago, like, I was not blaming Tibbs. There were others who were, yourself included, like, you just wanted to move on, whatever. And we can't.
But to be fair, and I'll let you finish, it was less about blaming Thibodeau, more about being open to what they could be without him.
All right, fair enough. Whatever the case may be, the Knicks themselves felt that they needed a different coach to get them to another level. And I understand that thought process. For me, the issue was always their stars, specifically Towns, wasn't good enough. So the hope would have been that Mike Brown would have come in and maximized what Towns can do offensively. Now, it's like, I'm not making any definitive decisions in four games. I had a belief about Mike Clown before. I have a belief after watching it for four games. There's a long way to go, but to me, it looks a lot of the same outside of people getting excited about the amount of players that he used last night. And really, last night was a rotation of nine. So, like, we're already starting to see that flower start to lose its bloom or whatever the hell the saying goes there. The idea that they were going to be better off with Mike Clown instead of Thibodeau, to me, was faulty. But Carl Anthony Towns is what he is, and you see why now they had issues with the T-Wolves all those years in the postseason.
Okay, so one thing that Adam just said here, good call to get it going here, right? So he used the term taskmaster. I'm going to, with the exception of maybe Shaq during the Kobe period with Phil Jackson when Shaq was, you know, Hollywooding things up and got a little heavy, whatever, and by no means am I putting Carl Anthony Towns anywhere near Shaq in terms of the NBA stratosphere of stars, but if you want to call him a star or a superstar, what superstar needs a taskmaster? Think about that. That's a contradiction because superstars are motivated from within. Kevin Garnett, Ewing, even though Patrick fell short, Patrick gave his soul, man. It was never a lack of effort or a lack of want. Maybe it was a lack of roster around him. I mean, whether you love LeBron or don't, and I'm whatever at this point, but, you know, self-motivated guy. Kobe Bryant, the ultimate self-motivated guy. Alvin Iverson never won self-motivated during the games, not necessarily practice. You get the point. If you've got to always kick a guy in the ass to get the effort to a level that is commensurate with what a champion needs to put out, good news for you. You're not a superstar. And all the things that he doesn't do well, all right? And that's why I really don't think that this is an overreaction today. I don't. Because think about what Cat doesn't do well. He doesn't make quick decisions. He's not in great shape. Him and his stupid foul still going back to the postseason. He hasn't learned from that. Are those things going to go away in May or June? Are they going to go away suddenly because he gets 79 or 78 games under his belt? No, they're not. They're inherently within him as a player, and that's why he will never win a championship here.
Which is why I just want him to play on the perimeter. It would eliminate half the problem here. Stop. He is an offensive foul machine. Stop. Stop getting him the ball down low. He can't do it. He looks like a big man. He is a physical big man. He has no moves in the paint. He's not a prototypical big man. His best skill set, his best asset, is his ability to shoot the ball from long range. Play his ass on the perimeter. I don't know why they're not doing that. Well, and I was expecting to see more ball movement, BT.
Me too.
Kick it around the perimeter. Let's go.
The ball movement's not what I... Now, I think it's different than last year, even though they've lost the last two, but it's not quite where I thought it would be, so I'm kind of with you there, kind of. Here's the thing, though. All right, that sounds good. Hey, Cat, plant your behind on the perimeter. You know, jack up 10 threes. You're probably at four and a half, because right. You're very good at that. And you're an asset there. Okay, fantastic. Who's rebounding and who's guarding the middle without Mitchell Robinson, who's made out of tissue paper?
Right.
Well, it's another problem with this team.
Yeah, I mean, no bullets. Blame Tom Thibodeau. Ari is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Ari?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just, I can't get my head around this. People say the Knicks have dudes, Knicks have dogs, Knicks going to do damage.
No, people don't say that. A person says that.
Person. A cat is a pussy cat. I go meow. Every single time he touches the ball, I go meow because he's just so soft. Just unbelievable how a guy could be 7 foot tall.
Yep.
He could have posted me up. It's unbelievable. It's really incredible. And I would hold off judgment on Brown or Clown or whatever you want to call him because it's four games. And I don't want to get creative about four games, but this for Towns is just a continuation of last year in the playoffs.
Same stuff.
It's mind numbing. Yeah. I was texting my buddies during the game. He's unwatchable. It's painful.
It bothers me. Yeah. Unwatchable. I mean, that's pushing it a step far because we're going to watch him anyway. But God, I can't remember. Well, probably Carmelo for different reasons. I was going to say, I can't remember the last Nick that frustrated me to this extent. It's the level of frustration that Carl Anthony Towns brings to me watching him play. It is through the roof. Now, listen, whether it's your child or cat, if you ask somebody to do something that they're not capable of doing, well, that's on you. You're an idiot. I mean, like, you want to ask me to dunk? I can't. You know, because I can't jump, and then I'm 6'2". All right, so I'm never going to dunk. But asking Carl Anthony Towns to play a little stronger when he's 7 feet, 260-something, that is not out of the, like, that is not crazy. And because he can't do it, or because he doesn't do it, and I still think he could do it a little bit better, that's the frustration, and it's not changing, Sal. It's not year one. It's not year two. He's almost a decade in. What are we waiting for?
But I don't get then why people would be so, like, dismissive of the impact that Mike Clown has had. Like, I know it's four games, but you're not judging it based off of just four games. The whole reason why you brought him in was to make them better offensively and maximize their potential offensively. And we haven't seen, like, there's not even a consistent level of offense yet. I'm not saying that they had to execute it at a high level consistently. I'm not even seeing the infrastructure of a different, consistent, better offense. Whereas when Tibbs first came in, the floor with those guys that had no talent outside of Julius Randle, immediately you saw it right out of the gate, like, okay, I know what this team's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing that from Brown. And maybe
you're talking about Tibbs' first team, like Noel and those guys, right? When they okay, go ahead.
You see the impact, and it's not just Tibbs. Like, you see it with a good coach right away. Oh, wow, okay. Now I know football, whatever it may be, I know what this team's going to be about right now. I could see the change in year one. The biggest thing that Brown had to do was get Towns to be a better, to maximize his ability. That to me was the number one, like the only thing that you could possibly justify in my mind moving on from Tibbs was that you got him, because Towns is now the star here with Brunson. This is it. You've got to be able to figure it out and maximize what he can do with Brunson together. And Towns, he's not that player. And I thought at least Brown would have him be more on the perimeter, ball movement, have him shooting more. It's not that. Listen,
for me, there's going to be nights where we're going to be pretty happy with this team. I'm just not taking the bait. They're not going to be a 44-win team. They're not going to be like the sixth seed. And I know, by the way, some people might think that, and that's fine, you know, because Mike Brown has never won a championship, and this team right now doesn't quite look the way we thought that they might. I still like the regular season upside for this team. My biggest gripe, yours is with the coach, mine is with the 1A star who does not look up to the task, I don't think that that's going to change at all.
Mine's not with the – it's not my biggest gripe. But I was saying that I would have kept Tibbs for another year so if he can maximize it.
Yeah.
My issue has always been that their stars weren't good enough.
Brunson, too?
No, well, the combination of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, could Brunson be the lead dog and take it? Like, we saw them get to a point where I think that they needed to try to get a talent like Kat. He's unfortunately just not the right guy. And Brown was supposed to maximize that. And I'm not reacting to the two losses. They could be 4-0. If they look the same way, like, it's not to me just the result, it's the way that they look. I'm not seeing a difference.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on a Wednesday to a beautiful, beautiful day and another edition of Evan and Tiki. We're here for the next 4.5 hours. A lot of football to get to, some baseball to get to. But I got to take you, Tiki, into the Knicks underground right now. We're going to have a very uncomfortable discussion, but I'm telling you, this is the underground. People are afraid to talk about this, but we got to talk about this. So, sitting back, I'm watching the Knicks last night. Blah, blah, blah. They lost. It's a fourth game of the season. Calm down. Karl-Anthony Towns, dumb fouls, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's Cat. That's what he does. New offense. It's going to take time. Yiddy, yada, 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 yada. I had two different Knicks fan friends text me the same thing. The same thing.
Which was?
That they would trade Jalen Brunson for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Jalen Brunson?
Yeah.
I mean, Cat maybe. Jalen Brunson?
Cat maybe.
Cat definitely. Cat maybe. Wait, so is this Cat and Jalen for Giannis?
It's more... All right, so here's the deal. Giannis is great. Like, we all know Giannis is great. So mm-hmm. we'll put that in column A.
We couldn't actually have counted him out, meaning the Bucks, out the beginning of the season because they have an MVP.
Because they have an MVP, and they're running their offense through point forward Giannis. So guys like Gary Trent Jr. and Ryan Rollins and A.J. Green, they're going to get all these open threes because of the way Giannis is running the offense. So, and they're off to a very nice start. Small sample size, nice start. But Giannis is off to an MVP start. He's a top three player in this league. He's a top two player in this league. We always knew that. But I remember when the report came out a few weeks ago about Giannis possibly wanting out and preferring the Knicks. It led to the discussion of, could it happen? What would it look like? And I got to give credit to one of our loyal callers, JR in Somerville, who when he called up, very passingly said, I'd give up everything for Giannis, including Jalen Brunson. And we laughed him off. And I still laughed him off until last night because I got text messages from two different well-respected Knicks fans who both said to me, separately, not even connected.
Right.
Bro, I would trade Jalen for Giannis. And I'm watching the game now under the new prism. The prism of, would I actually do that? And I got swayed a lot more than I thought because the first thing you need to do is throw loyalty out the window. Loyalty in sports is like a blind spot.
Right.
It's not about loyalty. It's about winning. And the more you watch Giannis play, especially around the pieces that are surrounding him now, if you ever put him on this Knicks roster and you had Karl-Anthony Towns and you had Mikal Bridges and you had all those other ancillary pieces and you just traded out Jalen Brunson, I gotta tell you, it's not a bad point.
But are you just getting away with giving Jalen Brunson?
It'd probably be Jalen right,
so,
an asset.
So there's just a lot. There's a lot more to that, but you think about how different the Knicks would look if it is if the Knicks were doing with Karl-Anthony Towns what the Bucks do with Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is you're the focus, let everybody else be off the ball. A.J. Green, who just knocks down three-pointers at a stupid rate every single night. What if the Knicks did that, right? And that's when you get into your head, well, maybe Giannis to the Knicks is the real reason, the only way they can guarantee to be in championship contention.
Well, but if you could turn Karl-Anthony, here's the thing. If you could turn Karl-Anthony Towns and whatever other pieces for Giannis Antetokounmpo in the short term, it's a no-brainer. Of course you do it.
Yes. You're losing a big part of your three-point shooting accuracy.
Yeah, but you're also bringing in an all-world defensive player, and again, in a star-driven league, a top three player in the league. Like, I've brought up my concerns about Giannis growing older, that, hey, in 3 or 4 years, when the athleticism isn't there, he's never really developed the shot consistently,
right.
So I don't think he'll age great. That's not even the point. I'm just talking about the next couple of years.
But it's also not right now.
Right, exactly,
right now. That's 4 years from now.
Which is what I wouldn't worry about. Right. Like, I wouldn't I bring it up because it's worthy of discussing if you're ever committing to making a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. What will it look like 4 years from now? But ultimately, I'd overrule all of that by saying, what does it look like now? And what it looks like now is you would become the favorite to win an NBA championship.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen now.
It's not going to happen now as long as the Bucks keep winning. Correct, yes.
Giannis is not going anywhere, at least in the short term, as far as the trading is concerned, because they're good. And I think maybe we underestimated how good they might be with Miles Turner and Giannis and obviously A.J. Green, who I was just talking about. But they have a good squad. Bobby Portis. They're just good players on this team. And so they match up well against the Knicks, and they only lost one game, and that was with Giannis scoring 40 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they're going to be good this year.
Yeah,
we just counted them out because of all the noise surrounding Giannis potentially getting moved this offseason.
The real reason you can't count them out is that the Eastern Conference is so bad.
Right.
Like, when you look around the conference, even when you're down as a Knicks fan after a loss, you look around the conference and say, who are you scared of?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not really scared of anybody.
Right.
I think the thing is, obviously, for Giannis to be moved, you need two things to happen. Number one, you need the Bucks to struggle, which is more of a challenge in an Eastern Conference that is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Giannis is off to a great start, and he's making guys like Gary Trent Jr. and Ryan Rollins and Cole Anthony, even though he wasn't great last night, and right. Kyle Kuzma, look better than they probably are because of all the attention that's paid to Giannis. I mean, you saw it last night. Knicks wall off Giannis. He finds an open shooter. He hits their shots. You're in business.
Yep.
So you need the Bucks to struggle, which early going hasn't happened. And then you need Giannis to cause a ruckus. You need Giannis to say, I don't want to be here. if the Knicks' ultimate offer for Giannis Antetokounmpo is surrounded by Towns and Anunoby and Bridges going elsewhere, and then whatever you get going to Milwaukee, let's be honest, you're probably not getting Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No.
The only way you're getting him is if he fully demands Knicks or bust, which I'm not sure if he's that kind of person.
But why would he do that? Why would he demand to be gone from the Milwaukee Bucks if they're winning?
Well, he won't.
If they keep winning.
I don't think he will. I think you need them to lose.
So this is a non-starting conversation.
Until they start losing.
It's just a dream that Knicks fans have because it feels like, oh, this is a tough start at 2-2 in the Mike Brown era. Let's find something else to do.
I don't think it's about 2-2. And if Tommy has truth serum, which sometimes he will give an honest answer. The New York Knicks had an electric second quarter, and you probably thought you were winning this game probably until the final 5 or 6 minutes of this game. It was always winnable. Before that moment happened, Tommy, when you knew they were going to lose, how many times in the course of this game, even briefly, did you envision Giannis Antetokounmpo as a New York Knicks?
Zero.
That's BS.
That's not BS.
No truth, sir.
Why do you not want him then?
Okay, let me...
Because that feels like it's coming from a preconceived bias against having him here. So why do you not want Giannis on this team?
Which one am I answering first? Brunson for Giannis or Giannis just in general?
Giannis in general.
I don't... All right, I'll give it to you this way. If Giannis got traded to the Knicks and Brunson was still on the team, Giannis would be the number two. Brunson's the number one. Because when the game is on the line, who has the ball in his hands?
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking last night when you were watching the game, at any point over the course of that night.
So I already gave you the answer. I didn't give you what you wanted, but then you ask again.
Because you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
You're lying.
Don't accuse me of lying.
I think you're
lying. I'm watching my basketball team in the fourth game of the year. I'm not doing July talk where I want a superstar here.
It's not July talk.
Yes, it is.
At what point in the game did you just say to yourself, boy, that guy would look good.
Zero.
Zero. There's no way. There's no way.
Zero.
I don't believe you.
So what's your answer to then, Giannis? Because you don't have an answer, especially if Mitchell Robinson is compromised, because he hasn't played yet, so where the hell is Mitchell Robinson? Cat can't defend him. So what's your answer
to Giannis? Well, yeah, you put Cat on roller skates last night, but you're not going to do that every single night. Again, he'd be the number two on this team if he got traded here to Brunson, because Brunson's going to have the ball in his hands with under 2 minutes in the game.
If you're not lying, let's say for the sake of this, you are being truthful that there was never a moment over the course of those 22 and a half hours of watching a basketball game that you didn't even briefly think or daydream of the idea of Giannis as a New York Knick, I would say this. For those who are Knick fans and are going to be honest today, you know there was a moment or two. Mm. There was a moment or two because A, he's a great player, and B, there were reports not that long ago that he wants to come here. So it's only natural. It's natural. It would be like... I got it. I have the perfect analogy, Tiki. Oh, my God. Sydney Sweeney, who's been in the news lately and was on with BT and Sal 2 days ago.
Right.
If Sydney Sweeney, over the course of her interview with BT and Sal, said, by the way, guys, love the radio station, that Tommy is cute.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could see myself dating him and just moves on. All right? That's it.
Right.
At some point while you're out to dinner with your wife.
Yeah, I would have divorced her by now. I would have texted her, thanks for the memories. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo, for the sake of this discussion, is Sydney Sweeney. She said
out loud. Way to ruin that fantasy for everybody in the audience.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, not out loud because it wasn't like a press conference. It was a report, I admit. Was talking in the report about only wanting to be a Knick. Once he does that, you cannot tell me while watching a Knicks-Bucks game and Giannis dropped 37, you can't tell me not for a moment you didn't envision sleeping with him. There's no way.
I swear to you, I didn't. Mm. I really didn't.
You're such a liar.
I'm not. Now you want to tell me 26, 28 games into the season? Perhaps. It's the fourth game of the year.
It's too early.
Right.
It's too early. You're not ready to have the one-night stand.
I already been.
You want to have a committed thing going.
And, Teak, I've already been on record on the air saying the reason why I was upset that this Giannis report came out is because this is going to be this season. Giannis this, Giannis that. Are we going to get Giannis in the summer? We're four games in, and we're already talking about Giannis here, and we're trading Jalen Brunson for him now.
I spoke to a Knick fan who works at this radio station. Okay? He is on the air. And he texted me late last night, dude, I would drive Jalen Brunson to the airport to acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Are you an idiot?
It was not him. No, it wasn't Sal. Sal would have said it on the air. I mean, he's not afraid of it. Somebody else.
Losers!
Because I think they know if they say it, it's like such an unpopular opinion.
That they're going to get hate and
push
back.
Which is why I give credit to JR in Somerville, who's a great caller, because he's the first one who actually said it. He's like, yeah, I trade Jalen for Giannis.
But you can't tell me over the course of a 48-minute game in which Giannis went for 38, 8, and 7 and reminded you he's an elite-level player, you can't say that there wasn't one moment of a wandering eye. You just admitted you would have immediately divorced your wife at the insinuation from Sidney Sweeney.
But that's Sidney Sweeney.
Correct. No disrespect to my wife, but we're talking about Sidney Sweeney here.
Have you seen Voyeurs?
I'm not even going to get into that. My point is, I don't believe you. I'm not going to call you a liar because that's too mean. I'm just going to say I don't believe you. And I'll tell you this. Jalen Brunson would probably get the deal done.
Oh, man.
Because Carl Anthony Towns ain't getting anything done. I mean, half this city wants to run him out of town after four games, but in the next breath, you think you could send him to Milwaukee?
No, they don't want to run him out of town yet.
Oh, come on.
I mean, he's got a... What did he have at the end of the game? Five groin hamster? Something like that. Groin injury? That was bang. He was hurt. He was hurt at the end of the game.
Well, Carl Anthony Towns has been hurt this season.
No, I'm talking about Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, Jalen got hurt with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth
quarter.
Looked
like a hamstring more than a groin, but yeah, lower body.
Lower body injury. Four games into the season. I mean.
Yeah, but Jalen stayed in the game.
Of course he did, but he was not Jalen Brunson.
No, he was ineffective. He had a turnover, right. Missed a couple of shots, no question about it. But he would actually get the Bucks to keep the phone live as opposed to just hanging up on you immediately. And here's the reality. The New York Knicks are capable of going to the NBA Finals without Giannis Antetokounmpo. I firmly believe that, and I think some Knicks fans still believe that, even if they want to over-exaggerate over a couple of losses early this season.
Right.
But when you watch him play and you watch him beat your team, it's tough to not envision what this would look like. Because he's a top five player, and I'm being conservative, he's really a top three player in this sport right now, with a report saying he wants to be here. Now, let me ask you this, Teak. After the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, was asked about his connection to the New York Knicks. And you are very good at reading what people really mean.
Of course.
Would you like to hear from Giannis?
Yes, let's hear it.
Everybody in the audience, would you like to hear from Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Stephon Bondi reminding Giannis Antetokounmpo, hey, Giannis, I heard you want to be a New York Knick.
You know, going back to the ESPN report from earlier this month, part of it was that if you were traded, you'd prefer to go to the Knicks.
Who said that?
It was an ESPN report that.
I don't need that.
I was wondering if that is true, and if it is or it's not. Okay.
I don't remember that. Right now, I'm here representing my team, and that's it. We beat the Knicks, you know. So doesn't really matter. What matters right now? We have a game 2 days against Golden State. Try to stay locked in and get 2 in a row. But I didn't read that article. Try to stay away from all that rumors and I don't know how you call it, speculations and trade and all this. It doesn't concern me one bit. I try to involve myself and try to help my team win games.
How do you interpret that?
I can't believe him.
That he never heard of the report?
Well, I'm sure he heard of the report.
I mean, come on.
I kind of believe him. Because they're winning. Even if the report is true, they're winning. And so why jump off the ship when it's floating high in the water? You know, once it starts sinking, then maybe you get frustrated. But the offense is going through him. He's scoring 37, 38, 40 points a game. What's his average, actually? 36 points a game right now. He's been balling. Like, why would you disrupt something that could be your golden goose right now?
You believe him.
I do believe him.
You know
why
I don't believe him? Because he started it off by playing dumb.
Who said that?
Who said that? Who said, come on, Giannis. There was a major news story about you reportedly only willing to be traded to the Knicks.
Where did that report come from?
Shams.
Shams reported this.
Yes.
And what did Shams cite as a source? People close to him or was it...
I have to go back. I don't know if it was league sources or people close to Giannis.
League sources mean it was the team, right?
Okay.
So that means the team is maybe wary about what you've always speculated about. How's he going to age?
Right.
Well, if we keep Giannis, who's 31 right now, for the next 2 or 3 years of this contract, it's probably not going to be best for our future endeavors. And who knows if he decides to just bounce after a couple of years and go to Greece. Right, his whole family moved over there. So I think that was the team, and he's just fighting back against the team.
Because he didn't leak it.
He didn't leak it. The team leaked it, even though they might have been having conversations. That's what it feels like to me. So I actually believe him.
Here's how dirty the idea of trading or including Jalen Brunson in a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo is. There is a reason
I said it's an FAN host, and I'm not going to say their name. That same person who texted me last night, hey, I would drive Jalen Brunson to the airport, has just texted me denying that he would ever trade Jalen Brunson for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I was wrong.
Meanwhile, if you move up in my text message exchange, he clearly says I would drive Jalen Brunson to the airport for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, and I was wrong. Next question.
It's not BT. BT would have said it on the air today. Wasn't him.
To be fair, Evan, when you watch games on gummies, anything could come out of your mouth.
Right.
All right. So that's how you're defending this person? All I'm saying is it's not about this person. It's the idea that is something interesting to think about, which I admit I completely threw away when it was first brought up by JR, who, by the way, we'll get to, that loyal FAN caller. We'll get to him next segment because he's called in probably to defend himself or maybe change his mind. I swatted it away like he was an idiot. And the more you think about it, and the more you watch Giannis, the more you at least have to be open to it. That's all. So, Tommy, are you open to the idea of potentially moving the King of New York for Giannis?
Not at all.
You wouldn't even have a coffee over it?
Absolutely not.
What about
not.
A whiskey or something like that?
Nope.
Beverage?
Nope. No, not at all. Nope.
Nothing?
I think Giannis is a liability late in games. Mm. I think you could put him at the line. It's true. He can't shoot. So he's not always going to have an opportunity to put a guy on roller skates and get to the basket every single time when you get to the playoffs. By the way, how'd he do last year? How's he done throughout his career? Yeah, he has one ring, which is more than Jalen Brunson.
How many rings does he have?
He has one ring.
So he won a championship?
He did win a championship.
And how many does Jalen have?
Jalen currently has zero. Okay. Doesn't mean he won't win one.
No, just I want an update. So it's 1-0 is what you're saying.
Again, okay. If there is 24 seconds left in the game and the Knicks are down by one, who has the ball, Brunson or Giannis? Mm. The answer is Brunson.
How many MVPs?
The answer is Brunson. Brunson would be the number one on the team. I'm not trading Jalen Brunson for Giannis.
That's 2-0. I got it.
Yeah, if I could do Cat for Giannis, obviously.
But stop it. No one's bringing up Cat for Giannis because it's stupid.
Because the idea that, because I think it's going to get, you don't want Giannis on the Knicks. If we could find a way, yeah, but not for Jalen. No way.
You would not have, Katiki said coffee, you would not have a lunch date in which you at least discussed the parameters of a Jalen Giannis
like
swap?
Is this like the Sidney Sweeney thing again? It's like Marissa Tomei. I'm like George Costanza. I'm going on a date with an Oscar winner. It's a lunch date. It's a cup of coffee. Is that what you're asking me? That I'm going to go on a cup of coffee date here with Giannis?
That's turning... You're listening. You're just listening.
Yeah, I don't even drink coffee anymore.
You wouldn't even listen to the conversation. You'd hang up the phone immediately?
For Brunson? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I tell you. All right. That's fine.
And I can't
You're loyal, Tommy.
But Teek,
I wonder if all Knicks fans are as loyal.
They're not, because I can think of a friend of mine that would trade Jalen in a heartbeat for Giannis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, we opened up the show talking about the domination that Giannis had over the Knicks and how sloppy and bad of a game Karl-Anthony Towns had in Milwaukee. And one of the things that we had brought up ever since he said it after the Knicks were eliminated from the postseason into the offseason, into this regular season, was that Rick Pitino talked about the thing that would unlock Karl-Anthony Towns, the one thing that he thought would make him better, and that was getting in better shape. He talked about getting his body fat percentage down and needing to be in better physical condition to deal with the rigors of the NBA postseason. So fast forward to this morning when Stephon Bondi of the New York Post, who covers basketball, both the Knicks and the Nets locally here, writes about what is maybe challenging the Knicks early on in this season with Mike Brown's offense. And what does he come up with, Boomer?
Well, he comes up with that there are a number of players that are out of shape, and that and obviously he was also talking in his article that players can get themselves in better shape as the season moves on. But it's obvious and it's apparent that Karl-Anthony Towns does not fit in this offense the way that the offense wants to be run, because he's supposed to be the first guy down the court and to get under the basket as the center on the team. And he talks about conditioning, and he says that he and OG Anunoby, which was a little shocking to me, because OG to me looks like he is in shape, but maybe he's not. Maybe there are issues there, and maybe Stephon Bondi is getting this information from somebody within the Knicks. But it's something that, you know, I don't know how many times I got to say it, that, you know, these players are making so much money, and, you know, it is vital that they take care of their bodies and that they put themselves in the best situation that they possibly can to be the best player they can be. And whether it be Mekhi Becton from 5 years ago, or whether it be Luka Doncic when he got traded from the Mavericks, and there were other different reasons there surrounding that, but it was obvious because Luka went on this off-season training thing that now he comes back and he's shredded and he looks like he's a completely different player, that he's even the better player than he was prior to them going to the finals. And now here comes this article about Stephon Bondi, and we talked about it yesterday morning, about if you're going to have this offense, it's a running gun up and down. It's the complete antithesis of what Coach Thibodeau was running here. This is all about hoisting up threes, getting down the court. And Giannis actually made everybody look like a fool the other night in the second half, because obviously he is shredded and he is incredibly in shape. So it's now in the paper, I guess, which kind of lends credibility to what Rick Pitino said, what you and I were talking about. And I just, it's obvious. It's obvious to see it. So I don't know. And Mike Brown can, again, it's early. And I want to give them 20 to 25 games to get used to each other, to get used to playing in this system, much like I want to do for the Rangers. I want them to get used to playing with each other with Mike Sullivan as their coach. It just really does feel that Karl-Anthony Towns does not fit what Mike Brown wants to get done. And somebody decided in the Knicks organization that he was going to be the one that was going to get the Knicks over the top. And again, it's early, I know that, but there are concerns. And those concerns are that at least two of the players are not in shape and enough to be able to play in this offense.
Yeah, which is just mind-boggling, because it's not as if Mike Brown was hired 5 minutes ago. I mean, Mike Brown was hired after the season. You knew what type of offense he was going to have. You knew what type of players you were going to have. And for him to communicate that to the team, I would hope that he did, to the team after he gets hired, and then like a couple days before the season starts, you got Karl-Anthony Towns saying, I don't know how I fit into this offense after a full off season. And then it's clear to people who cover the team
that he's not in shape when he should have been in the best shape of his life after the way things went down last year, and then this new offense and this new system that Mike Brown is running is completely unacceptable. I mean, how could you let that happen? If that truly is the case, and it sounds like it is, that Carl Anthony Towns isn't in good enough shape to be running and gunning like Mike Brown wants his team to. I mean, that's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
You also have, Stephon Bondi goes back and he talks to Carl Anthony Towns, or he refers back to what Carl Anthony Towns said earlier this season about fitting into Mike Brown's offense. And he goes, I'm not really sure where, honestly. He says, I don't know. So you got your, and maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill.
No, I don't. The reason I don't think so is because what we saw in the postseason, even in a win, you brought up the Carl Anthony Towns sloppy foul that he had on opening night.
Yes.
He had such a miserable game in Milwaukee. I mean, Rick Pitino mentioned it right after the season ended that he wasn't in shape. Now in the beginning of the season, you got someone who covers a team saying that he's not in shape enough to run Mike Brown's offense. It's not a mountain out of a molehill for a team that's trying to win a championship. They didn't fire Tibbs to go do the same thing or worse. They fired Tibbs and hired Mike Brown because they wanted to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, here's basically what Stephon puts in his article. He's a slow-footed center who is more skilled offensively than anybody his size. However, he's also lumbering in a system catered to quick passes and athletic wings. Hence, why Carl Anthony Towns doesn't know how he fits.
Yeah.
Can you believe this? We're four games into the season.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing about NBA teams is that, like, you kind of know right away if, like, the pieces fit and the coach fits and all of those things and just, like, the roster works. So, I mean, I don't know if we're going to be, turning around and saying, oh, all of a sudden everything is just absolutely perfect. And, I guess in the article it says that you can get in better shape as the season goes on. I understand, but I feel like the off season is really where you got to do the majority of your work.
And that's what Luka Doncic did to his credit. I mean, he lost a couple $100 million, and it was a pretty hard lesson to learn for him, but he certainly learned, and he did something about it and took care of himself. He also says that Brown, as the coach, has been saying since he's gotten here that the foundation of his offense, and I'm reading from the article right now, is sprinting. Sprinting is very important. And God bless him. I mean, he's being honest. He's telling you what kind of offense. And I know what the analytics say. Hoist threes. Just keep shooting threes. Maybe Carl Anthony Towns will be a better three-point shooter than he is. I mean, he's a great three-point shooter. And maybe he's the guy that's going to end up just sitting in the corner now. And maybe they'll just leave him down on the other end of the court.
Word choice is very important. And the fact that, Bondi puts in this offense is built around sprinting and their center is lumbering. Those two things don't really go together.
They don't. And he is just, the amount of idiotic fouls that he takes because he is lumbering. You don't take fouls like that when your feet can get to where you need them to get to.
Right.
If you're tired, if you're stiff, if you're overweight, if you're just not in shape in general, then you're not going to be able to play defense because you can't keep up with the offense.
Let's go to Eric, who's down in Florida this morning. What's going on, Eric?
Boo, you took the words out of my mouth. He is the worst defensive player in the NBA. He's so slow with his feet. He can't move. And I don't understand how the Knicks cannot be on top of his butt all off season to get him in shape.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, too. I mean, these players have got to have some self-pride and they have to understand who they are and what's expected of them. I would think that the moment that Mike Brown was hired, I would imagine that Carl Anthony Towns went, oh, no. Oh, no.
But because he had to run more and do those things and probably have to put in some real effort to get quicker, faster, and lighter.
You know, when the Jets fired Pete Carroll, hired Rich Kotite, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, oh, but, no. But it's not as if, yes. I mean, but that's because Rich Kotite didn't know what he was doing. You know, Mike Brown knows what he's doing. It's just a different system for a guy who doesn't necessarily, at least at this point, fit.
We're 1 week into the season. I don't want to make too much out of it, but it's obvious to all of us, especially that night, because I saw exactly what I saw in the playoffs last year from Carl Anthony Towns, and I'm like, what is he doing? Why is he doing what he's doing on the court? Well, what is the answer for that? And then, you know, Reggie Miller just absolutely goes off, and I appreciated that from Reggie. I really did. I bet you a lot of Knicks fans hated Reggie saying that about Carl Anthony Towns. I'm like, thank God somebody in a Hall of Famer at that is calling him out.
Well, just like the first game of the Rangers season, when I said this is a long season, they can figure it out. And your point was, well, it's a new coach, and I'm seeing some of the same stuff I saw last year. Now, that changed in the next few games, but that was your point. I think that's sort of where we're at now, is that the last thing you want to see is some of the issues that held this team back last year with the star players.
True. What I did say, though, early on with the Rangers, and even though they weren't scoring at home, I said I kind of liked the way that they were playing. Now, they've been hit by a couple of injuries that have had to move guys around, and certain guys aren't able to live up to their contracts as of yet. But I do tend to like the way that they're playing defense and the way that they're coming back. They're just not getting rebounds. The power play is not as lethal as it once was, and there are other things that they have to work on. And they'll get a couple guys back, but this article this morning when I read it from Stefan Bondi, you know, just amplified everything we had been talking about last year at the end of the playoffs, then with the new coach, and now here we see it. So it's not like we haven't predicted this.
And who, I mean, the idea that you can trade him somewhere with that contract and get something back that's going to make you a better team, I can't even possibly imagine that. I really don't. I mean, unless you're attaching...
I mean, it depends on if there's another coach out there that likes his game and thinks that, you know, he would be a plus and they would build everything around him. And let's face it, this is Jalen Brunson's team. I think Conrad called in yesterday and said that. Yeah, it is. He handles the ball. He's the one that's running up and down the court. He's the guy that is supposed to be the engine that makes the team run. And the problem is, you know, it'll be interesting when Mitchell Robinson comes back to see how that dynamic works if they put them on the court together.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be running up. Now, Mitchell's usually in pretty good shape, and he can go and go and go. It's just that his feet sometimes end up getting hurt. And
the guy's got tiny feet, yeah.
Well, so you're going to be asking him to be sprinting up and down the court.
Yeah.
A guy who has habitual foot problems.
Yeah, small feet for a big man. Very. That's what we talked about. He's got the same shoe size we do, which is a problem.
I mean, like, I think your feet are too big for you.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, my feet fit me perfectly.
Okay.
My foot size.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still I'm a six-foot guy. I'm large. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm tiny. I'm not like a, I don't know, like a...
I'm not saying you should have, like, a size 9 because I think you'd tip over.
Yeah.
But if you had, like, a 10.5, 11...
And I think
that would be more fit to you. But yeah, I mean, I'm a 12.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe you've got small feet.
Everything. No, I think my feet are perfect.
You think they're perfect?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think maybe you should be a 14.
My nails are a little rough, but...
Every athlete's foot that played for a long time has got issues. So.
Well, no, I have nice feet. I just, you know, had the plantar fasciitis when I left the game.
Yeah.
And then it reoccurred, and then I went to that Goodfeet store, got these freaking inserts, and they've been
great for you.
Been great. Yeah.
No, but I mean, if you look at LeBron's feet, man.
Whew. Those are some nasty digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Jones took his shoes off once down the hall when I worked with him. I mean, that foot looked like it came from another planet. And he thought it looked great. And I'm like, dude, you don't even know what a foot looks like.
I would think that feet in a basketball and football locker room are probably some of the nastiest.
What can you do, though, man? You put it all out there, you know?
I always think about how many times my foot was stepped on.
Oh, yeah.
By some jackass defensive lineman.
Or your own offensive lineman.
Yeah, well, it's not their fault.
The Knicks did lose the game last night. To quote our good friend Tommy Lugauer, no biggie. It's early in the season. Shots are not falling.
They're still over. They're not below 500.
Not below 500. They're 2-2. They obviously miss Mitchell Robinson. Karl Anthony Towns is, to me, clearly not healthy and should sit. So I'm going to make an assumption, all right, because I have not had a chance to listen to the radio station all day, but I'm going to make an assumption that the reaction to the Knicks losing last night and losing back-to-back games would be calmness. Mm. Let's take a listen.
I think Karl Anthony Towns threw the game last night because he doesn't want to get traded to Milwaukee. Like, that's how bad he played.
He's not a real head coach. He's a clown. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but, like, his name rhymes with clown. Wow. I think he coaches like a clown. Therefore, to me, he's my clown.
They're not going
to
win a championship with this group. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, that's they're just not.
All right. So it seems like everybody's calm. Everybody's relaxed. It's only four games.
Oh.
That's good to know.
Just because they lost two in a row. Hey, they won two in a row, too, you know.
But I feel
that's aggressive.
I feel the need to do this only because it makes me laugh so much, but I want to be fair. The Giannotti one was completely out of context.
Why? He was making a joke. About somebody.
You know what? I'm not explaining the context. I'm just going to say that he doesn't actually think that Karl Anthony Towns threw the game to not get traded to Milwaukee, but it sounded too good. I had to use it. So thank you for that. Let's get to your calls, Knick fans. It's not about being 2-2. It's the idea that you may have saw your future last night. Because Giannis Antetokounmpo is still a top three player in the sport. He still probably wants to be a New York Knick. And if you're watching last night's game, did you come to the same conclusion that a handful of Knick fans already had last night, which is not only do they want Giannis, they'd be willing to trade Jalen Brunson for Giannis. Mm. Let's get to the guy who brought this up for the very first time on this radio station. And in fairness to him, I faux pot it. What did I do?
You
poo-pooed it.
Poo-pooed it. There you go. Even Tiki, like, hand-slapped the guy. And that, of course, is JR in Somerville. JR, how are you, sir?
What up, JR? JR is always there. How is JR not there?
What's up, JR?
Something must be wrong with the phone.
Yeah, Dolan's tapping the phone lines. He doesn't want any discussion about this golden boy being traded for Giannis. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Listen, guys, I'm going to have to agree with Tommy here, and I'm going to give you some rationale behind why I feel there's no way in hell you trade Jalen Brunson for Giannis. Now, listen, in theory, right, Giannis is a great, historically greater player. Brunson is still going, by the way. He's only had three full seasons as a starter. The guy has been a top five-ish kind of player the last 3 years. So why would you make, you know, a somewhat lateral move? And here's the other thing. Giannis Antetokounmpo is not coming here unless he's playing with Jalen Brunson. He loves Jalen Brunson. He knows that he needs a closer. And comparing his one ring to Jalen Brunson's zero, like I said, Brunson hasn't played nearly as long. And he had two Olympians with him in their prime in Middleton and Holiday. And, gentlemen, the other thing is that, you know, in theory, the team would be great with Giannis. But you have to deplete it. It's a Carmelo Anthony situation. Mm. You're going to weaken the team. You're not going to win. And Giannis, although he has the one title, Middleton was the closer on that team, and to a certain extent, Holiday, because as Tommy said, he is not a closer. Yeah, I seen him run from the ball and throw it out of bounds because he doesn't want to take free throws against Miami when Jimmy Butler was busting his butt for like three straight years. And he's losing in the first round more than he advances. Jalen Brunson will never lose in the first round.
You're killing the two-time MVP, right?
I know. Well, this is what happens sometimes. To make your point, you proceed to kill
the other
person.
I think Ray's the most important point, because he said a lot there in that 45-second rant that he had going on there. But the most important thing that he said, and it's the truest one, if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, why in the hell would you come to the Knicks without Jalen Brunson?
I'm glad you asked that.
Why?
You want me to give you an answer?
Yes, please.
I'm dead serious when I say this.
Who is replacing Jalen Brunson's productivity and leadership?
That's not the question. Please ask the previous question. You said, why would he come here without
Jalen Brunson?
The airports.
Okay, whatever. Forget this.
No, that's a real thing, the airports, because New York City, and I think it's LaGuardia, maybe JFK, you'd have to correct me on this, you're the international traveler.
JFK in Newark.
Is the only airports that go direct
to Greece.
To Athens, Greece.
JFK in Newark.
So,
because I was just in Athens.
Thank you. So a part of his motivation on wanting to be with the Knicks is not only that they're good. I don't want to dismiss that. He didn't include the Nets, and their access to the airport is closed, too. So obviously he wants to win, but I think that also may be a major motivator.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to move back to Greece. He spends a lot of time in Greece. And convenient-wise, yeah, makes sense.
So in the absence of moving back to Greece, he can just stay here and play. He just needs a direct flight to Greece.
Correct.
And that is easier if you're playing for a New York team.
So what Tiki, did I speak Tiki now? Tiki doesn't want to concede the point to me. So he's repeating it out loud to say, oh, that makes sense. No, I don't want to
Conceding the point to you. But I'm talking about from a basketball standpoint. Forget the convenience of getting to Greece in his off seasons or in his off days, whatever the heck it may be. Why would he want to play on a team that doesn't have one of the best closers in basketball?
Great question. So do you think Giannis would have a better chance to win an NBA championship with the current surrounding cast he has in Milwaukee of Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green and Miles Turner and Ryan Rollins and Kyle Kuzma and Bobby Portis? Or do you think he'd have a better chance to win a supporting cast of, let's say, OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, Jordan Clarkson, guys like that? What would give him a better chance to win?
I think him with Jalen Brunson would give him the best.
That wasn't my question.
I know, but I'm not answering the question you ask. I'm answering the question I want to answer.
See, this is
it's Media 101.
JR in Somerville is good to go now. Go ahead, JR.
Here we are. What's up, JR?
Hey, what's up, guys? All right. You know, Jalen Brunson's my favorite Knick of all time. You know, he's a top 10 player. And if the Milwaukee Bucks call you during the season, you definitely hang up. But what you do is you call him back in July after whatever happens to the Knicks happens to the Knicks. Because BT's 1,000% correct. This team, first of all, we got to see what they look like when Mitch Robinson comes back. This league's all about the double big, how you play with the double big. I want to see how they work when Mitch comes back. But this, I'm not going to leave it at Jalen Brunson. I'm telling you, if this team loses in whatever round in the Eastern Conference playoffs or whatever in the finals, I don't care where it is. You go out there, you can trade Jalen Brunson to another team, send those picks to Milwaukee. You get rid of anybody who went to Villanova. You send Bridges somewhere. You send three picks to Milwaukee because the market for Giannis has got to be at least 12 picks. Nobody has the actual picks to make this work when you look at the other trades that are going around the league. The Knicks have what it takes. You put him next to Towns. Everything I saw from Towns last night would be solved by having Giannis next to him. Every one of the
every single
he has would be solved by Giannis being next to him. I keep Mitch, and I'm ready for the Wembanyama era, Jokic, whoever wants to come at me. So it's not a crazy thing to say.
No, and I give you credit, like, when you first said it, and I think what I got caught in, and what many Knicks fans listening right now are caught in, is the web of emotions. Jalen Brunson is the guy that brought the Knicks back in a lot of ways. I know Tom Thibodeau deserves a lot of credit for that,
right?
But Jalen Brunson is the guy. He's the superstar you always needed, but you never knew it was coming from him. So the idea of disloyally trading him away for another superstar who's a year and a half older feels dirty. It feels wrong. It feels like something you wouldn't want to engage in. But he's actually right. When you think of the deficiencies that Karl Anthony Towns has, if all of a sudden he's teammates with Giannis and Cat could, like, you know, basically live on the perimeter as one of the greatest big man shooting threes of all time.
Which he wants to do.
I mean, it could work.
Right. It's kind of what Mike Brown would prefer because he likes the five-out lineup, as we've seen multiple times. But it also creates a situation where you lack a closer. You've said this about You said this about Karl Anthony Towns last year, how he disappears in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Now, part of that's maybe because Jalen Brunson just gets really, I got this. You know, you just go stand over there. I'll get it to you if I need you. But he's not the closer, and neither has Giannis been because of the free throw liability. So who fills that void? Deuce? Like, who fills the void?
They missed him last night. Oh,
of course they did.
You know, one thing, when you look at last night's game, and you should not over-exaggerate, nor should you over-exaggerate wins. I think we need to be fair about this all year, and I will try to be in the best regard.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at last night's game, Mitchell Robinson not playing, and I think this has become obvious based on his impact in the postseason and just watching their defense to start the year. Dude, they desperately miss Mitchell Robinson.
Of course, because who's the post defender?
Oh, my God, he changes everything.
When Giannis gets down there, it's not Karl Anthony Towns.
Certainly not.
He puts him on skates. And so you need Mitch when you have a big lineup like you have against the Milwaukee Bucks.
And Deuce McBride, you think about the game they won against Cleveland. I'm trying to not confuse the four games that they've played. How many times did Deuce hit a big three to stop a Cleveland run?
Right.
Basically every time. So they miss those guys. And that's the NBA. You're going to miss guys. The Bucks were missing guys last night, too. It happens. It's a part of basketball. But I think it's obvious when you watch last night's game. Matt's in Hillsborough, New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
How you doing, boys? All right, I got 2 points. One, that the Knicks, as constructed, are the New York Yankees. They will get fat off of bad teams. The record will not really reflect who they are. They'll get bounced by a superior team in the playoffs. And two, the Tommy Sidney Sweeney thing doesn't work. Because while I'm sure his wife is absolutely lovely and beautiful, she would have to be in the same realm of Sidney Sweeney. Because any one of us would leave our wives. So my wife doesn't
listen
to the show.
Is Jalen Brunson... Okay, I'm gonna try to save you from talking anymore and getting in any more trouble. So I'll just say, is Jalen Brunson in the same realm as Giannis Antetokounmpo as a superstar?
They're both superstars in the NBA.
Okay. They're both superstars in the NBA.
Right.
When you look at their resumes, if we're being fair, their resumes, one's a 9-time All-Star, one is a 5-time All-Defensive Team, one guy's won 2 MVPs. Okay, that's one guy. His name is Giannis.
The Knicks 5, by the way, looked tired in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure why, and Giannis obviously took over, and this is why, you know, we would all love to have Giannis here. And did you hear Reggie Miller going off on Karl Anthony Towns?
Well, I mean, yeah.
It was great. I mean, I was so happy. I don't know what is going on with Towns. I don't know what this is all about. But it's like, I know he had a lot of drama in his life. And sad stuff happened to him and his family through the COVID situation.
Yeah.
And it was, and I don't know. I don't want to ever blame any of that. But he had to be. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. And I don't know if he was like this when he was in Minnesota. We saw it kind of rear its ugly head during the playoffs last year. It's when we really got into it. And now at the beginning of this season, we're seeing even more of it. And the fact that Reggie Miller did what he did or said what he said last night during this game tells us all that we need to know, that everybody out there knows, like, they can't. Reggie couldn't put his finger on it either.
Yeah,
to what the hell he's doing half the time when he's out there on the court.
Yeah, I think I know what you were trying to say about his life, and I'm not sure if it applies to some of the dumb fouls and that stuff that we see, but there is something there that he, after everything he went through, because all you hear anybody that's been around him is how much he is just like the nicest guy and appreciates life, and his dad is around everywhere, and his dad's a great guy, and they have chosen to say, like, yes, we went through horrible stuff, we're going to appreciate every moment that we have now, and they just welcome everybody, and it's a great way to live your life, right? I mean, I can't...
It's life-altering, though. Right, that's the problem.
Right, it's life-altering, and that's... But this is where, you know, life and sports are two different things. It's a hard conversation when they come together like this, but what I think also is that he, because of that, wins and losses don't mean as much to him. And I'm not saying he doesn't care. I'm just saying that when you go through things like he went through, when he's living his life, he's a happy guy. Like when he commits these dumb fouls and they lose, it's more like you know, as opposed to, man, I really got to grind this out and try to fix it. Where we're here as New York basketball fans and Knicks fans going, man, like you and Mikal Bridges were the two guys who were going to put this group over the top to win a championship. And you especially, Karl Anthony Towns, and I'm getting garbage games like that. I mean, that's just, I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. Like, in a regular season basketball game, to give me that, 5 friggin' fouls, turnovers, 8 points. I mean, he looked like he just didn't care to play good basketball. Like, he was trying to play poorly. That's how bad he looked last night. He looked so bad that I heard when I was walking here from the Infinity Sports Radio that EJ over there, the producer of Maggie and Perloff, tells Perloff, I think Karl Anthony Towns threw the game last night because he doesn't want to get traded to Milwaukee. Like, that's how bad he played. Well, I was like, that's a good take. I'm not going to, I can't say that to myself. I don't think he was joking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. It's just because of the way it looked. And this is why I'm trying, and I think you're trying. We're all trying to figure this.
He's too good to be this.
Dude, he's an enigma. That's the only way I can look at this. I don't know how a 6'11", ball handling kind of, I don't know, hybrid player goes through moments like this, and it really makes no sense whatsoever. And I mean, I I sensed in Reggie Miller's voice last night like a sense of like disgust.
Well, I think too, because like you get this way with quarterbacks where you're like, the guy doesn't prepare, the guy doesn't love football, he's given this opportunity, even with other football players. Like, you see a guy who's like, he's not in shape or he's not paying attention. Like, it drives you crazy because you're saying, man, like, look at all the money that is here for you. Look at all the fame that is here for you. I mean, you've got all the physical ability and you're not putting the work in. Now, I don't know if Carl Anthony Towns is putting the work in or not, but a guy like Reggie Miller is getting frustrated because he's like, holy hell. Like, I made a career of not having that size, or maybe not even that much talent overall, and I'm a Hall of Famer. And this guy's out here at that size who can do everything on the basketball court, and he's pissing it away by playing like this. And it's a continuation of what we saw hold the Knicks back for 75% of the postseason last year.
So, and the coach ends up losing his job, and now you have a new coach, you have a new way of doing things. You're supposed to be, you know, running up and down the court, taking three-point shots. I mean, like, this team is transitioning into, like, you know, the Warriors. Mike Brown is trying to get them to get up and down the court, to hoist up threes, and, you know, there is going to be some adjustment. I'm not saying that there isn't going to be. I know that there were going to be some rocky moments here earlier in the season. But what I also thought was that we would get away from some of the nonsense that we saw last night, especially specifically from Carl Anthony Towns. You know, and that's got to be a really frustrating thing for his teammates, too. Now, they're not going to come out and say anything. I mean, they're going to support their teammate. They're going to help him. They know the life-altering things that he and his father have gone through over the last 5 years, which I never want to lose sight of.
Yeah.
I never want to lose sight of that. I don't think that it has anything to do with the way that he plays. I don't know why he plays this way. I don't. I really wish I could put my finger on it, because it is driving everybody crazy. And when you hear Reggie Miller, a Hall of Famer himself, talk the way that he did last night, which I really appreciated the honesty. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I really appreciated, like, somebody who's not tied to the Knicks, tied to MSG, basically telling you that this is ridiculous, essentially. And we've been talking about it for, you know, since last the playoff run. And we thought, and we still believe, and I still believe, that the Knicks window is open. But, you know, to watch the Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks in back-to-back games do what they did to the Knicks tells you, okay, there's going to be an adjustment period, so we all got to settle down. It's still early in the season. But we're seeing some of the bad habits that we saw last year that ultimately really make you scratch your head and wonder if all this chatter around Giannis Antetokounmpo is having a profound effect on a guy like Mikal Bridges, on a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, because we're all assuming that in order to be able to get and acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's going to take those two guys and more to get the super stud that he is. And let's say it, Giannis is off to an amazing start this year. Like, he came back like on a purpose, and it seems like that purpose is, you know, give me the ball, let me go do what I need to go do, and I'm going to go do it. I mean, he would be the perfect guy in a run-and-gun, up-and-down offense.
Well, yeah, I mean, and right now it's just basically like a tease, because you know that the one place that he would go outside of Milwaukee is here. He has said that himself. The reporting has been there, and it just feels very, very far away with the way that the season has started, the way that Towns is playing as being a part of the deal. I mean, he would have to go full NBA psycho to force himself out of there for that trade to happen now, especially within the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, and I remember in the playoffs last year when the Knicks got eliminated, like, people couldn't understand my words when I said that Carl Anthony Towns was a loser and a losing player. They thought I was taking a shot at his personal life because people aren't that bright. What I was talking about was this. Like, this is what I'm talking about. He doesn't have whatever that is that you need to win a championship. You want to do the cliche it factor, whatever it is that we've all seen, and we know players in the past that have it. And not all of them that have it win, and not all of them that don't have it don't win. But the scary part is when you're supposed to be the final piece, the missing piece to put you over the top, and you feel like that player doesn't have it in them, that championship mentality, that those steel guts that you need in those crunch moments, I mean, that's just a huge problem, because I can't imagine him taking over in a game 7.
What I imagine him in a game seven doing is fouling out with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter because his emotions got the best of him.
Well, whether it be his emotions or his lack of... remember when Rick Pitino, we were talking to him and we were asking him about Carl Anthony Towns. He said his body fat's way too high.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he needs to lose weight and he needs to be slimmer and he needs to be more nimble on the basketball court. And, you know, this was that whole discussion around Luka Doncic when, you know, the Mavs traded him. And I totally understand why the Mavs did what they did. And I don't want to go back down that road again because, you know, you're not giving this guy $345 million if he's showing up and his body mass index is like 22%. And now he comes back and it's like, he's making a name for himself because, you know, the ex-girlfriend kicked him out of the house. So he comes back.
Revenge bot.
This hardcore, buffed up and, you know, superstar that, you know, it's going to go on and on. It's going to be like the Energizer Bunny for the Lakers, which is great for him and great for the Lakers. But they put the Mavs in a really difficult spot. Could that be part of it where he isn't really taking care of himself?
He's getting lazy and tired late in games.
Exactly.
And things like that.
And I thought like the fourth quarter last night, I Giannis looked like a jumping gazelle running up and down the court.
Yeah.
And Carl Anthony Towns was a couple of steps behind, and it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that, you know, like. If you really look at it, and I'm sure I think they track the player movements. Now, I know they do in the NHL, and they can see how much the player is moving around and how much effort he's putting out per game. And I know they do that in the NFL too. I'm assuming they do that in the NBA. I would love to see what his numbers look like after a game.
As compared to Giannis.
So Giannis, yeah, I mean, or anybody else on your team. Like, Ananobi's up and down the court like a gazelle.
Well, I mean, he played bad last night, too.
I know he did. He had a bad shooting night. But you know what? It's not because he's out of shape.
No. No, I mean, and I don't question that inner fire from OG Ananobi. Like, this guy has been on a championship team already. You can tell he desperately cares about winning. I mean, he went out there with his hamstring injury. He was, you know, hobbling around. He probably shouldn't have been out there, but he wanted to try. Like, I don't question any of that with him at all. And it's just a problem, man. Like, the Knicks were obsessed. That whole Kentucky contingent that they have, you know, in the organization had been obsessed with getting Karl Anthony Towns on the Knicks forever. And you got him, and now you got this. And there's going to be games, too. I mean, there's going to be stretches during the regular season where all the Karl Anthony Towns supporters are going to be, oh, my God, look at this, the 40 points and the 12 rebounds and the 8 assists and blah, 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 and all these things. And that's going to happen, and it's great. But when it gets down to it, when he's playing a better team and better superstars, is he going to play at the same level? That's the question. And unfortunately, we have too many teams around here where that's what we talk about, where it's like, when Aaron Judge gets to the postseason, can he hit? But that's what happens when your teams get good. You know, if Juan Soto has all these numbers in that clutch situation, is he going to be able? When you get paid a ton of money and you're on a good team and you're the best player on a good team, these are the things we're going to talk about. So, like, sorry if I don't pat him on the back when he has a 45-point night at some point during a regular season. Until I see him consistently not plod around and do this dumb BS that he is known for now. I mean, you can't have 5 sloppy-ass fouls in a game when you have 8 points when you're Carl Anthony Towns. You can't do that, man.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than sloppy-ass fouls. Honestly.
Sloppy-ass fouls.
And I do think that Reggie Miller would have used that term last night if he could have.
Yeah.
Because he was annoyed, and you could tell that he was annoyed.
But, I mean, and you know exactly why he's annoyed.
Yeah, I see it. I 100% see it. I mean, and I do think there's something to be said about being in shape, getting your body fat or your body mass index down.
Well, but now that's what you do in the offseason, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know you can't do it now.
Like, it's like this is why this is a problem. Like, you know, you can maintain that throughout the season, but like the practicing and the games and the grind and the schedule and the road and the whole thing. Well, I think they're going to practice now more because, you know, we're going to do the opposite of what Tom Thibodeau did. Whatever he did, we're now going to do the exact opposite. But this is who he is. I mean, and I don't have any faith that that's going to change. Guy's not a rookie. You know, we're not watching Cooper Flagg struggle in the first couple of games and go, oh, figure it out.
or like Victor Wembanyama, we're like, oh man, you know, he's a skinny kid, and you know, in a couple of years he'll be a superstar. And he is. This is who Karl Anthony Towns is. You know who he is. You don't even need to go through his entire career to know exactly who he is if you just started watching him as a New York Knick, because this is it. And he'll tantalize you with amazing talent and great games, and he'll win games. And I just hope the only thing that's going to make me feel better about him in the postseason is if he eliminates all of this stuff, like all of it, like no sloppy fouls, no bad games, no complaining to the officials, no laying on the ground while the ball's going up the court the other way. Like, I need to see zero of that the rest of the year for me to think that he could do it in the postseason. And chances are that's not going to happen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.